According to Yosef HaTzadik, what would have happened if the Shvatim had not sold him? In Parshas Vayechi, Yosef tells us that if the brothers hadn't sold him, he thinks that millions of people would have died in the famine. And that he told the brothers, "Don't be upset that you sold me. This was clearly a plan from Hashem. Hashem meant it that I should come up with the idea that saved all these millions of people, Egyptians and people from the surrounding countries." According to Rabbi Sheis Taub, what is the difference between a victim and a survivor? So Rabbi Sheis Taub says that a victim is a person who gives up because of the suffering that he experiences. A survivor is a person who keeps on growing, who keeps on working, who keeps on striving in spite of all that suffering. And Rabbi Sheis Taub proved, he said, Yosef, when he made that statement, showed clearly that he had the mindset of a survivor, not of a victim. His mindset is that I'm not going to just wallow in self-pity and feel bad for myself and blame people. He's not blaming the Shvatim. He's not a captive. He hasn't given up to all of the things that happened to him. Instead, he kept on moving on. And he was able to see that there was something good in this as well. He didn't give up. That's what made him a survivor. What was the first dream that Yosef HaTzadik had? Yosef's first dream was that he and his brothers were gathering wheat in the field. And then his brother's bundles of wheat bowed down to his bundles of wheat. How did the Shvatim react to that dream? The Shvatim said, "Hamaloch timloch alinu, you're going to be the king over us. You have what it takes to be the king. You don't have what it takes to be in charge of other people." And they hated him even more for sharing that dream with them. What was the second dream that Yosef had? He dreamed that the sun and the moon and 11 stars were bowing down to him. The Shemesh, the Yareach, and Achar Asar Kochavim, 11 stars, were bowing down to him. How did Yaakov Avinu and the Shvatim interpret Yosef's dreams? So again, they understood that the dreams meant that he wanted to, or that he was fated, destined, to rule over them. The Ramban says that Yosef HaTzadik's dreams were not regular dreams. They were prophecies. They were nevuahs. The difference between a regular dream and a nevuah is as follows. If you have a dream that you're in a restaurant eating non-kosher food, don't act on it. Don't go out and eat non-kosher food. But if you have a nevuah, a prophecy, where Hashem tells you, go to a restaurant and eat non-kosher food, so then, it's a mitzvah to listen to the command in the prophecy. A nevuah can suspend almost all the mitzvos in the Torah. And based on this, the Ramban proves that Yosef HaTzadik's dreams were more than just dreams. They were nevuahs, visions, if you will. He says, what mitzvah did Yosef HaTzadik violate because of his dreams? So usually, if a person is away from home, if they're studying for the year in Israel, or they're in sleepaway camp, right, or they're on a road trip, it's a mitzvah to call up your parents, right, once a day, once a week, depending on what their expectations are and how easy it is to call. It's a mitzvah of kibud avayim. Yosef HaTzadik was away from his father for years and years, and he never called him up. He never wrote to him. He never let his father know that he was alive. And Mefarshim have different explanations for why this was so, but the Ramban said that it was because of the dreams. Because Yosef understood that he had a command from Hashem to make sure that the dreams became fulfilled and that he became in charge, right, the protector responsible for, right, his entire, you know, brothers and his broader family. And he understood that if he told his father prematurely that he was the head of Potiphar's household, that he was a viceroy of Egypt, if Yaakov Avinu found out too soon, he knew that the dreams, the nevuahs, the prophecies, would not be fulfilled. And therefore, the Ramban says, from the fact that Yosef HaTzadik neglected the mitzvah of kibud avayim, that proves that he understood that the dreams were nevuahs, and it was only on the strength of those dreams that he didn't, you know, write to his father in all of those years. We talked about Rav Aaron Kahn and how he looked at Yosef HaTzadik as being the best example of a visionary, What is a visionary? A visionary is a person who looks at the world and doesn't see it like it is, but sees it the way that it could be. If only we did this, and if only we did that, and if only we did the other thing. And you know, when Rabbi Shai Schachter organized the first YU Shavuos retreat, in honor of his father, of Herschel Schachter, after that happened, Rabbi Kahn got up and gave a speech, and he said, "This was a person who saw not what was, but what could be, the tremendous amount of Torah growth and chizuk and inspiration that Klal Yisrael could get from such a thing, and he made it happen." And he compared that to Yosef HaTzadik, who had these dreams, and acted upon them. And we said that there are pros and cons of being a visionary. Like, it's really a tremendous privilege to be gifted with that type of sight and to be able to see opportunities where other people don't. But at the same time, in some ways, the life of a visionary is more difficult than the life of a regular person. Because when a person, you know, sees the world better and then takes action to make the world into a better place, there's going to be people who resist. There's going to be people who oppose him because they stand to gain from the present way that things are, because they're scared of change, or because they're jealous that they don't have the same vision. And so very often there are people who oppose a visionary. They see opposition and challenges that ordinary people don't see, which is why it's very important that when we encounter a visionary, when a friend or a relative tells us, like, I just had an idea, and you listen to the idea and it seems like a wild, out of the world idea. I mean, you say, it's never gonna happen. It's too much work, right? There's so many people against it. How are you gonna make it happen? Or it's not well thought out. That's not how. That's not the right way to react to a visionary. Why do you squash something that's beautiful? When you see something beautiful, you nurture it, you nourish it, you try to build it up. If a person has a beautiful vision of a better world, even if the details are not 100% clear, give them encouragement. I'd say, that is such an awesome idea. If there's any way that I can help, please let me know. And then if you can think of a way to make their dream happen, then help them make the dream happen. Give them suggestions that are gonna that will make the implementation better. And so in light of this, it's very strange how Yaakov Avinu reacted when he heard of Yosef HaTzadik's visions. Because he didn't say, "Whoa, what an amazing vision! Let me help you out." What actually happened, the pasuk says, is "Vayigar boi aviv." His father scolded him. His father yelled at him. He rebuked him. Why? Why did Yaakov Avinu scold Yosef HaTzadik for his dreams? So Rashi explains that there is something even more important in this case than supporting a visionary, and that is understanding that you shouldn't do things that make people hate you. There definitely are times for a visionary to share his dream. There are people with whom to share his dream. There are places that are the right places to share those dreams, but not all times and all people and all places. Because sometimes by sharing that dream, you're going to bring so much hatred on yourself. That you know that it ends up being counterproductive. It ends up making it harder for you to realize those dreams and not easier. And so Yaakov Avinu understood that Yosef HaTzadik had stepped over the line over here, that he had shared his dreams in a way that would make his brothers hate him and would make it harder for him to fulfill those dreams. And so he scolded him because he felt that by scolding him, it would make the brothers hate him less. And if the brothers hated him less, maybe there was a chance again for making peace between them. And so he scolded him. Don't say things that make other people hate you. Try to just be normal and be nice. You know, everyone should like you. Do things to make everyone like you. Not always, but at least in this case, maybe save sharing the dreams for a different context. Don't make it the brothers hate you. Love and hate and jealousy seem to be coming up, you know, again and again, in the parasha. When it comes to love, right, it says, "V'Yisrael ahav et Yosef." Ahava is love, right? "V'yiru echav ki oto ahav avihem mikol banav," right? That they saw that Yaakov ahav loved Yosef more than all the brothers. "V'yisne'u oto," and they hated him. Sina is hatred. And then again, after the dreams, Vayosifu od sino oto, they hated him even more, al cholo chalomotav al divarav. And then later on in the parasha, after the second dream, it says Vayikanu bo echav, his brothers were jealous of him, kina. Ve'aviv shamarat hadavar, but his father watched and waited. And the close relationship of these three emotions in our parasha is something that's worthy of note. The Ramban, actually, on the mitzvah of the Ahavta l'Reacha Kamocha, has a discussion about the relationship, the connection between love and hate and jealousy. And the Ramban basically says that if you love a person, you're not going to be jealous of them. Even if something good happens to them, even if you wish that that good thing had happened to you instead, you're not going to be jealous. You're not going to have that wish. If you really love a person, you're going to be happy for their good fortune, even if their good fortune is your loss. If you are jealous of somebody, that means that there's something lacking in your love for them. Because love, the Ramban says, is the opposite of jealousy. In English, it's the opposite of hatred. But in Hebrew, the Ramban says, the opposite of love is jealousy. You know, it's interesting, the relationship between hate and jealousy. You know, hate is sina, jealousy is kina. They're off by one letter. They're very, very similar. They're closely related, but they're slightly different. Rabbeinu Yonah says that there's three bad types of jealousy. The worst bad type of jealousy is when you say, if I can't have it, I don't want anyone to have it. That's a destructive jealousy. It's basically wishing that there be more poverty, less wealth, less happiness in the world. If I'm unhappy, I want everyone to be unhappy. That's the worst type of jealousy. The middle type of bad jealousy, says Rabbeinu Yonah, is a person who says, I want it, and I don't want anyone else to have it. It's not destructive. At least he wants something good for himself, but at the same time, he wants to deprive everybody else of that goodness. And so that's the middle type of bad jealousy. Then the best type of bad jealousy, says Rabbeinu Yonah, is if a person says, I don't care if other people have it, but I want to have it too. But it's still not a good jealousy, because jealousy can poison the mind. A person is not content with what they have. The only type of jealousy that's good, says Rabbeinu Yonah, is a spiritual jealousy. It's a jealousy of a person's mitzvah. It's a jealousy of a person's wisdom. A jealousy of a person's refinement. Those are good types of jealousy, because if you're jealous of somebody's wisdom, then you're going to work harder to become wise yourself. If you're jealous of somebody's mitzvos, then you're going to work harder to do mitzvos yourself. And so that's a good type of jealousy, according to Rabbeinu Yonah. Now, Yosef HaTzadik's dreams and the Shvatim's jealousy was a good type of jealousy. It wasn't a bad type of jealousy. And we see that because when Yaakov Avinu gave Yosef the coat, they weren't jealous. And even when Yaakov Avinu loved Yosef more, they weren't jealous. It was only after the dreams that they became jealous, because there was something in the dreams that was spiritual, that was like wisdom or like mitzvos, and that's what made them jealous. What was it? So we explained that Yosef HaTzadik's dreams were similar to the brachos that Yitzchak Avinu gave to Yaakov Avinu. And basically, what happened was is that if you go through the history in Chumash, Adam HaRishon had three sons, right? Cain, Hevel, and Shase, right? And Cain was the older one, Hevel was the younger one. Hashem liked Hevel's karbanos. He chose Hevel. And then you can talk about Avraham Avinu had two sons. Yishmael was the older one, and Yitzchak was a younger one. And again, Hashem chose Yitzchak, chose the younger son. And Esav was driven away. He was deprived of that relationship with Hashem. Yishmael was driven away. Yitzchak Avinu had two sons. The older one was Esav. The younger one was Yaakov. And Esav was pushed aside. He didn't have that opportunity of having a relationship with Hashem. Yaakov was the one who inherited the brachos of Avraham Avinu, and the opportunity to have that. And the Shvatim were scared that history was repeating itself. There were older sons and there was a younger son. And it seemed that the father and the HaKadosh Baruch Hu, by sending this prophecy, was choosing the younger one to be the one to keep that relationship, to be the next of the Avos. And they were nervous that where did that leave them? That left them to be company with Esav. It left them to be company with Ishmael. It left them to be company with Cain, who murdered his brother Hevel. That's what they saw as the significance of the dreams, and they were jealous, not of the love and not of the coat. They were jealous because they thought that the dreams meant that Yosef would have spiritual opportunities to thrive and to prosper, right, and to grow as a tzaddik. And then they were going to be pushed aside and banished into the company of Esav and of Ishmael. And this is a spiritual jealousy, that they thought was a good type of jealousy. And that's what we call the idea of kinas sofrim tarbe chachma, that when scholars are jealous of one another, it increases wisdom. It motivates them to be more scholarly, to pursue wisdom more. And that was the jealousy of the Shvatim, that they thought it was a good jealousy because it was jealousy of something spiritual. But it's important to remember that no jealousy is good if it leads to destructive results. It's only good if it leads to an increase in wisdom, if it leads to an increase in mitzvah observance. The Shvatim took this jealousy, which could have been a good jealousy, it could have channeled them to work harder on their davening and harder on their learning and coming close to Hashem, but they channeled it the wrong way. And the Urchus Tzadikim tells a story to emphasize how harmful jealousy can be. It's a very dangerous thing to play with. The Urchus Tzadikim says that there were two people who were jealous people. And the king one time offered them, I think it was King Shlomo, offered them, he said, I'm going to give you anything you wish for, but the other guy is going to have twice as much of it. And neither of them could bear the thought that they were only going to have half as much as the other one because they were jealous people. Jealousy poisons the mind. And so finally, one of them wished, I wish that you poke out one of my eyes. And that way the other guy is going to lose both of his eyes. And I'm not going to be jealous of him because I at least will have one eye to see with and he won't have any. But again, like it leads to destruction and destructiveness. We talked also about a couple of antidotes to jealousy. Emunah is one antidote to jealousy because HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives me what I need. And so, I don't need the same thing as another person. Hashem gave him what he has because that's what he needs. Hashem gave me what I have because that's what I need. Hashem didn't give me what the other person has because it's not good for me. It's not going to help me fulfill my mission. And so a person who remembers Emunah, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives everyone exactly what they need, will end up not being jealous of other people. We also talked about teamwork as an antidote to jealousy, right? In other words, right, all Jewish people have the same overarching mission in life. We all have the same goals, L'takein olam b'malchut shakai, right? To make the world a perfect place, to bring in Yemos HaMashiach. Each one of us is doing a different job to make that happen. And so I'm not going to be jealous of you for having what you need to do your job, because if you succeed in your job, I'm going to benefit. The goals that I want, right, for humankind, right, are going to be accomplished better because you have what you have. And so your accomplishment is my accomplishment. That's how teamwork works. Right? If the best person is playing pitcher, I'm not going to be jealous of them because they're playing pitcher, I'm going to win the game. I'm going to get a trophy at the end of the season. I'm not going to be jealous of you because your success is my success. And so I'm happy that you have what you need to succeed, because if you have what you need to succeed, it means you have what you need for me to succeed.